Deeper Every Day by John Henry Allen, Volume 6, Days 15 through 21. Volume 6, Day 15. Accountability, Love, Not Condemn. Paul says that we must all, preacher and people alike, appear before the judgment seat of Christ. If you learn to live in the love of Christ here and now, judgment becomes discernment. This will cause you to delight in the work of God in you. Remain constantly aware of the presence of Christ. Walk in every moment in the light of the Christ's revelation to you, available instantly to move at his bidding. Rather than casting judgments on any other soul, accept them with the fullness of God's love. Otherwise, you will operate in the spirit of the devil, no matter how saintly you are. It takes only one carnal judgment of any other to create hell on earth for them and you. Bring your condemnation of others and say, "My God, I am guilty here." If you don't, hardness will set in. It is not only God who punishes for sin. Sin confirms itself in the sinner and gives back full pay. No amount of striving or praying will enable you to stop doing some things. And the act of sin, if you gradually get used to it, will cease to consider it sin. No power except the union of the Holy Spirit with your spirit can alter the tendency to sin. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, for many of us, walking in the light means holding others and ourselves to our standard of perfection. The deadliest Phariseeism today is not hypocrisy, but unconscious fantasy and unrealistic expectations of self and others. It is a huge mistake to assume that walking in the light, in the Spirit, occurs by achieving a relatively sinless state. Even avoiding sin, studying the Bible more, and praying more will never cause one to walk in the Spirit. This is putting the cart in front of the horse, which will never accomplish forward progress. The only way to walk in the Spirit is to develop such an absolutely passionate, abandoned love for God that the affection itself connects one inextricably and intimately with the Holy Spirit. The abundance of this magnificent passionate love overflows in the expressions of the Spirit of God as opposed to the expressions of the human spirit in the union. Deeper Every Day by John Henry Allen, Volume 6, Day 16. Spiritual and Emotional Separation. Personal relationship with God shows itself in separation. This is seen in the life of Abram by his separation from his country and relatives. Today, the separation is more about spiritual and emotional preferences. As devotees of Christ, we feel separation from those who are not into how we perceive life. Our relatives and significant others who do not have a personal relationship with God step away from us. This is because we have new desires which are no longer the same as theirs. Consequently, we gravitate to others whose desires are more toward God and His purposes than our natural human desires. Faith never knows where it is being led, but loves and knows and trusts explicitly the one who is leading. Ours is now a life of faith, not of intellect and reason. It is a life of knowing God, who gives us new purpose. The root of our faith is an intimate knowledge of a personal God. One of the erroneous traps for Christians is the idea that God is sure to lead us to success. God is never interested in your success. That is the human way of life. God desires a deeply passionate love affair with us. The final stage in the life of faith is humility, not character. When one becomes truly humble, all of the best character traits are expressed as naturally and effortlessly as breathing. We cannot possess good character, as Jesus said. There is none good but God. However, since redemption is the result of the union of the Holy Spirit and the natural spirit, the perfect character of God in the Holy Spirit will manifest itself in us when we abandon ourselves to Him. The life of faith is not a life of mounting up with wings, but a life of walking and not fainting. It is not a question of sanctification, but of something infinitely further on than sanctification. It is a life of faith that has been focused on the perfection of God in every relationship dimension. Abraham's mustard seed of faith was on this and only this. God is the perfect father, perfect mother, perfect sister, perfect brother, perfect friend, and perfect mate. No Christian needs more faith. We simply need to place all of our faith in God as perfect in every relationship way. Deeper Every Day by John Henry Allen, Volume 6, Day 17. Friendship with God. There is a genuine delight in real friendship, especially friendship with God. It is far more than just occasional feelings of His presence all day, every day. We feel Him not just while in prayer, but at all times as we bring His presence into our current conscious moment. True friendship with God occurs when we are so much in contact with God that we never need to ask Him to show us His will. A deeply affectionate relationship enables us to finish the other sentences and know what they desire before they even speak. When you are rightly related to another, even God, it brings freedom of expression of the most intimate thoughts and desires of your life. Vulnerability becomes very natural in genuine relationship. When you experience intimacy with God, you are God's will, and all your common sense decisions are His will for you unless He checks. You decide things in perfect, delightful friendship with God, knowing that if your decisions are wrong, He will always cause you to pause. When He checks, stop at once. Genuine relationships bring with them difficulties which we would not encounter in any other way. These difficulties can actually, if not properly addressed, cause a silence or even a break in relationship. However, they occur in order to bring us to fully appreciate friendship, or better yet, develop intimacy with another person. When we stop communicating, we weaken the bond. Why do we stop praying when we don't get the results we thought we sought? It is because we are not intimate enough yet to go boldly on until God grants us our desires or enables us to know His purposes and desires for us in that particular matter. Whenever we stop short in prayer and say, "Well, I don't know, perhaps it is not God's will," we are not as intimately acquainted with God as Jesus was and as He wants us to be, that they might be one even as we are one. Think of the last thing you prayed about. Were you devoted to your desire or to God's desire? Were you determined to get some gift from God or to bring pleasure to God? The point of asking is that you may get to know God better. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Keep praying in order to get a perfect understanding of God Himself. Deeper Every Day by John Henry Allen, Volume 6, Day 18. Interest or Identification. The imperative need spiritually is to sign the death warrant of the disposition of sin. It is essential to turn all emotional impressions and intellectual beliefs into a moral verdict against the disposition of sin. This disposition is my claim to my right to myself. Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ." He does not say, "I have determined to imitate Jesus Christ," or "I will try hard to follow Him." When I come to such a purposeful decision and act upon it, then all that Christ accomplished for me on the cross is accomplished in me. That which God requires surrendered in me is all, not just some, of my rights. The free will commitment of myself to God gives the Holy Spirit the opportunity to express through me the holiness of Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, I live. The individuality and uniqueness of personality remains, but the mainspring, the ruling disposition, is radically altered. The same human body remains, but the old satanic right to myself is destroyed. When we do not surrender all of our rights, we commit sin, as our natural spirit operates against the Holy Spirit. He has been posited there by God in faith, but we can grieve Him when we thwart His expression of God's love, even if we are doing what happens to be loving and kind things for others. And the life which I now live in the flesh, not the life which I long to live but the life I now do live in my mortal flesh, the life which men can see. I live by the faith of the Son of God. This faith is not our faith in Jesus Christ, but the faith that the Son of God has imparted to us, the faith of the Son of God. It is the faith which has overleapt all conscious bounds, the identical faith of the Son of God. And what was the evidence of Jesus' faith in God? It was that Jesus surrendered in absolute trust of his Father all of his own rights to the will of the Father. Do you hold back some things, or do you let go of your control over your life and the lives of others? God can always be trusted to do the best thing in any and every circumstance. And as with the agony of the garden, God's purposes may require something painful for you. Deeper Every Day by John Henry Allen, Volume 6, Day 19. Is your love for God passionate? How gloriously the world would be changed if only we could learn the secret of the burning heart. When we come to the point of salvation, Jesus suddenly appears to us. The fires are kindled, and we have wonderful visions. But then we need to learn the secret of how to maintain that burning heart such that we can go through anything without hesitation. It is the dull, mundane, dreary, and commonplace day with commonplace duties and people that put out the burning fires of the heart toward God. The secret is abiding in Jesus. Much of our distress and misery comes not because of sin, but because we are ignorant of the tendencies of our own nature. For example, the only test as to whether we ought to allow an emotion to have its way is to see what the outcome of the emotion will be. Push it to its logical conclusion, and if the outcome is something God would condemn, allow it no more. But if it be an emotion kindled by the Spirit of God, and you do not let that emotion have its right issue in your life, it will cause disruption and misery deeper in the soul. The higher the emotion is, the deeper the degradation will be if it is not worked out on its proper level. If the Spirit of God has stirred you, consider as many things as possible to be inevitable. Let the consequences be what they will. Any consideration of consequences, which I might prevent, but God wants to occur, will always lead me to my purposes and not God's. We cannot stay on the Mount of Transfiguration, those very highly emotional moments with God. However, we can and must share the light we received there. We must let the Holy Spirit express it through us in word or action. When God gives a vision, go about your business with that vision in mind. Do not hesitate to operate according to the vision, no matter what it costs. We cannot kindle the fire which in the heart resides. The Spirit blows and is still, in mystery our soul abides. But tasks in hours of insight willed can be through hours of gloom fulfilled. Deeper Every Day by John Henry Allen, Volume 6, Day 20. Am I carnally minded? The natural man knows nothing about carnality. The flesh lusting against the Spirit that came in at regeneration, and the Spirit lusting against the flesh, produces carnality. Carnality occurs when and only when the flesh is allowed to reign in the moment. Walk in the Spirit, says Paul, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Be ruled by the Spirit, and carnality will disappear. Are you contentious or easily troubled about trifles? Oh, but no one who is a Christian ever is, you might say. But Paul says they are. He connects these things with carnality. Is there a truth in the Bible that instantly awakens petulance in your soul? That is proof that you are carnal. If sanctification is being worked out, there is no trace of that spirit left. If the Spirit of God detects anything in you that is wrong, he does not ask you to correct it. He asks you to accept the light of his truth about it. He will put it right. A child of the light confesses instantly and stands bare before God. A child walking in darkness says, "Oh, I can explain that away." When the light breaks and the conviction of wrong comes, be a child of the light and confess, and God will deal with what is wrong. If you vindicate yourself, you prove yourself to be carnal-minded. What is the proof that carnality has gone? Don't kid yourself. When carnality is overcome, it is the most real thing imaginable. God will give you many opportunities to prove to yourself the marvel of His grace. The practical test is the only proof. Why, you say, if this had happened before, I would have been resentful. You will never cease to be the most amazed person on earth at what God has done for you on the inside. Deeper Every Day by John Henry Allen, Volume 6, Day 21, Decreasing into God's Purpose. If you develop another soul's dependence on you, you are out of the will of God. God's will is that all should come to repentance unto salvation and a full surrender and dependence upon God Himself. As a worker for God, your greatest responsibility is to be a friend of the bridegroom. When once you see a soul in sight of the claims of Jesus Christ, you know that your influence has led them in the right direction. It is never your job to prevent the trials in their lives or your own life either. Rather, pray that they grow 10 times stronger until there is no power on earth or in hell that can keep that soul away from Jesus Christ. Time and again, we become amateur providences. We come in and prevent God from doing His work. We say this and that must not be tolerated in life. Instead of proving friends of the bridegroom, we put our own personal sympathy in the way. The soul we have thus hindered will one day say about us, "That one was a thief. He stole my affections from Jesus, and I lost my vision of Him." Beware of praying for our own personal sympathies for others rather than praying for God's will to be done in the midst of the misery or calamity. Stop rejoicing with a soul in the wrong thing, deliverance from difficulty. See that you do rejoice in the right thing, personal growth in learning from the adversity. The friend of the bridegroom rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. In this my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. This is spoken with joy and not with sadness. Finally, they get to see the bridegroom. John says this is his greatest joy. It is the absolute dissolution of the ministry of the worker. He is never thought of again. Watch intently until you see the bridegroom and hear his voice in the life of another. Regardless of the havoc it brings, what upsets, what deterioration of health, rejoice with divine hilarity when once his voice is heard. You may often see Jesus Christ wreck a life before he saves it. Devotions read by Bob Clarkson.